Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
On All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and that means I'm Deb Wolf, your host, and I'm feeling a little guilty here because I got the window all the way open so the sun can stream in on me while I do this show. I'm just wearing a hoodie. I'm not even wearing a coat. It's plus 10 in Canada, and you, poor you, Janet, over there in Connecticut, not the same story for you, is it, Janet?
No, everybody is frozen to the ground, and it's boots and scarves and hats and more, and it's just the way, it's January. We New Englanders know about this.
Well, I guess so. It's supposed to be cold up here, too, but it has just been beautiful, and they complain about fog, but I'm up on a mountain, so what fog? I don't know what fog. Anyway, you're here to talk about something different. You're here to talk about jazz and dogs and pets. And what is Pet Acoustics Pet Tunes?
Pet Acoustics is my company that's dedicated to the hearing of animals and how sound affects their behavior. And Pet Tunes is the culmination product of 15 years of research to give pet owners of dogs, cats, horses, and birds my music that I've composed specifically for the each species hearing range. And dogs and cats, they hear twice and three times more than we do. Horses are extremely sensitive to sounds, and we bring birds into our homes, and we don't bring the nature in with them. But with music as a language, you can do all of that for them, and I've had tremendous success with the concept and the music worldwide for many, many years, and I have wonderful anecdotes from people from all over the world. So that's my mission.
If I listen to one of your pieces that's made for cats or dogs,
yes.
And they can hear things I can't, then I guess there are going to be sounds and music on there that I can't hear, right?
Well, we are all limited. You know, if you look at a chart as to what our hearing range is and what theirs is, you'd be completely amazed. So their world of listening to sounds is completely invisible to us. So what I do is because, you know, in nature, they use their alert high frequencies to survive. So they can move towards sound, away from sound. That's how they survive. We bring them into our homes. Those frequencies are still there. And what I do is that I take the music and I eliminate those high alert frequencies that take them out of their state of rest. And when they listen to the music, it takes about 2.5 minutes for them to just curl up and be completely calm. And that's what I do with the music.
Oh, that would be so good in a thunderstorm or
an
animal that's having a bit of an anxiety issue, to just be able to chill them out. So,
exactly.
Okay, this is a bit of a leap, though. I mean, how do you go from composing jazz for humans to thinking, I mean, it must be weird to play a piece where there's notes you can't hear, but you're playing them for the animals. It's crazy to me. How do you even do this? How do you go from people to animals like that?
Oh, well, it's actually, you know, living cells respond to vibration and sound. That's the principle of it. I have performed all over the world in concert halls and jazz clubs, and understand the sonic environment that's needed in the acoustics to provide music and to get that circle of the human energy back with the music. Well, it's the same thing with an animal, even more so, because they are so sensitive to sound that they need to have music that is still music that we can hear and enjoy. But I did 3 years research on exactly what instruments they prefer. Now, dogs and cats prefer long, sustained phrases, and they prefer volume levels that don't change, and this keeps them in a state of calm. Horses prefer short, melodic, very strong melodies, and music that's in 2/4, 3/4, and 4/4 time. That's how they walk. That's their whole being is rhythm.
That's their rhythm. That's their beat. Oh my gosh, that makes sense to me. They clop, clippity clop, clippity. Yeah. That makes so much sense. Mm-hmm, but okay, mm-hmm. The cats and dogs are the same. They don't seem the same. It would seem to me like cats would be less patient with music, want more turnover, but I guess not.
Actually, they prefer what I do with the cat music is because they hear a third higher than dogs. I actually bring the music into a higher register than the dog music. So it's a pretty complicated recipe that I go through. It's very painstaking. I go through every track. I modify everything. I never use percussion and I never use human voice. Because human voice is just brings a dog out into like, who's that? What's that?
Working mode. Yeah, alert mode.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so this is so cool to me because I never even really considered this. What's important for pet owners to understand about their own pets' hearings? Like, I think sometimes we expose our pets to noise pollution without realizing it.
Absolutely.
And some of these signals, these things we can't see or hear. Mm-hmm. I think they drive our animals crazy. These little,
they do,
this and wireless that. Beep, beep, beep.
Such a great question, because what pet owners need to do, and this is really a mission that I have, is to be aware that, we go for the best food. We give them the best coats to go outside and the leashes and all of those good things. But actually the hearing that they have inside the home is the most ongoing, unpredictable part of their sense. So if a pet owner really just follows, a cat's ears or understands that if a dog has some tension and is reacting to something, it's not because they're not reacting to a reality. So basically we live in two levels. It's called psychoacoustic juxtaposition. So psycho meaning brain, acoustic meaning sound. And so they have their level and our level. For example, if you put speakers on a bare floor and your dog is trying to rest near that speaker system, the sound of and the vibrations will actually be a pressure in the dog's ear and will be painful to the dog, and it'll move away. So you may think, oh, well, he just doesn't like Metallica. Well, no.
Yeah.
It's because it's really a pressure in a dog's ear. So if the pet owners just look at their dog's ears, cat's ears, they will learn so much more about their pet.
Okay, I know you've got something for Bluetooth. Where can people find out about your new product, the Pet Tunes Bluetooth speaker from Pet Acoustics?
It comes preloaded with all the music. All they do is turn it on. I've spent a long time trying to get a product that's simple, easy, and incredibly effective. And they can go onto my website, which is petacoustics.com.
And when or where are you speaking next?
I am so excited. I am a speaker at the Western Veterinary Conference in Las Vegas, February 17th. And it's all about what I just spoke about. It's called Frequencies, the Invisible Trigger of Animal Behaviors. And I'm very excited.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Janet. We're out of time. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be back with Dr. Carol to answer your pet problems. Thank you very much, Janet.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate this. Music
You're
for animals that they can hear and that really suits them. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, stay tuned. We'll be back with Dr. Carol in just a moment.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goose Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be Healthy Goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
I wish I had some of that mellow music for my boarding kennel. Dr. Carol, you missed our first guest, and she came on to talk to us about music that she's written and designed. She's a jazz composer with the extreme differences in hearing in mind when it comes to dogs, cats, and horses. So she's written pieces for them and then tested them over time, in particular at vet clinics, to see what soothes the animals the most. And now she has this soothing music for dogs, cats, and horses. Pretty cool, huh?
Absolutely. In fact, music for pets has become quite popular lately. And there's all kinds of links and sites where they've got a variety of wonderful CDs that you can put in as music to soothe your pet and yourself.
So I had an email for you.
Okay.
And it was this lady wrote in and she said, you know, I'm embarrassed to call because you always seem to be talking about overweight pets. And she said, I don't understand what's wrong with my pets, but my pets are too skinny. What can I do to fatten up my dog in particular? Now, she didn't tell me the age or nothing, if it has worms, if it does. I sent her back an email asking her all that and she didn't report back. So it's a dog and it's too skinny, Dr. Carol. That's all we know.
Well, that's okay. That's all we need to know. And you hit the nail on the head. The first thing that you want to do is always check with your veterinarian. You know, let them take a good look, do a complete physical exam. Certainly check a fecal exam to rule out worms or address them if they're there, because that can definitely be one thing that can cause a problem with weight gain. The second thing to look at would be the food that you're feeding. Keep in mind that if you feed your dog a cup of food and your dog defecates a cup of stool, then it all went through him, but nothing stuck with him. So keep in mind that your fecal volume or the amount of feces produced after a given meal should be a very small proportion relative to the amount that you fed your pet. But again, you know, one cup of food producing one cup of stool, that's not going to work and your dog is going to stay too thin. So make sure that you've got a good quality food that agrees with your dog. Your dog should have a normally formed stool, and the volume of feces, as I said earlier, should be very small, just a fraction of what we actually feed. Then what you want to do is you want to start feeding multiple meals a day. Certainly two meals a day are a must for all pets. But in a dog that's too thin, if you're able to, you can add in lunch. Ideally, all pets and people should eat at four-hour intervals, excuse me, or six times a day. And I know that that sounds a bit extreme, but if you're at home and you don't, you know, have a lot of things to keep you busy during the day, certainly adding a couple extra meals in is a very good choice. If this is a dog, for example, that is on a grain-free diet, there are grains that are good for you. Oatmeal would be one. Be sure to add in a grain. That will help with a little bit of weight gain as well. Now, as far
as... is some of this a little bit breed specific? Because as I hear you talking about six meals a day, I know wolf crosses that there's no way. You can't even get them to eat two, three times a week. And then there's other dogs like golden retrievers. Oh, yeah, you offer them six meals a day. You betcha they're going to eat six meals a day. So isn't some of this, or a border collie, if it thinks it's going to work, it'll actually puke up its last meal just to make sure it's light on its feet. You know, nothing new. You can't seem to fatten them up when they're working. Is there some truth to this, or is this just me thinking this because I've met some characters out here at Camp Good Dog?
Yeah, no. I think that you have a valid point. In fact, at my new veterinary clinic the other day, I had a new client come in, and she had a dog that was a cross between a greyhound and something else that remains unknown. But the dog was about 11 years old. The dog's ribs were sticking out, and his backbone was showing. And I was,
must have thought, oh no.
You know, I was alarmed because it's unusual today to see a dog that is too thin. And I discussed it with her, and this was approximately a 50-pound dog. And I said, well, what do you feed the dog? And she says, well, I feed wellness. And I said, well, how much do you feed? She says, well, I feed one cup of food twice a day. So I said, well, there's the first problem. You're not feeding the dog enough food for the dog's body weight. No. And she says, well, if I feed more, the dog won't eat it. And I said, okay. I said, well, then why don't we try top dressing our meals with some real food? So she kind of looked at me and she was very skeptical. But she went home that night and she offered her dog a little chicken and spinach. She top dressed that. I guess that's what she was having for dinner. So she top dressed that on her dog's food. And much to her dismay, the dog gulped it down and was looking for more. So I think, again, if you're having a dog that just won't eat, I think maybe it's what they're eating that they might not particularly care for. So, again, you can play around with that. Try different brands of commercial food. Consider top dressing with some homemade real food, or even going to a homemade diet. But again, how do you know a dog is too thin? You can easily see and feel each rib. You should be able to easily feel but not see each rib. And that spine, the backbone should never be sticking out. And again, they should have the waist, and I'm sure this dog has a very well-defined waist. But in general, see your veterinarian and address your food as well as the number of meals that you are feeding. And if you've got a healthy dog without parasites, you know, what are metabolic conditions? Thyroid certainly comes to mind. Hyperthyroid, or an excessively overactive thyroid. Now, that's a common in a lot of these teenage cats. They eat all day, but they just can't gain weight. They get skinnier and skinnier. That's because the thyroid is overactive. This is a very rare condition in dogs. But again, certainly something that this individual can address with her veterinarian by pulling a simple blood test to document the thyroid condition of this particular dog. But the rule of thumb is older cats become hyperthyroid, so they eat, 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 and they just get skinnier and skinnier. Dogs, on the other hand, in general, especially like your Goldens or a Classic, hypothyroid, or an underactive thyroid gland, these dogs eat a normal amount of food but gain an excessive amount of weight. So
hopefully, I'm thinking about these people listening to you now, out in the backyard, in the snow, wherever they are, trying to measure the poop. Can they just eyeball it? Can they just sort of look at the back end and say, yeah, that looks like it's about a cup? I don't want to send them out with measuring cups on this one, Dr.
No,
Carol.
You definitely, you can eyeball the stool. But once again, Deb, you brought up a great point. Should we eyeball the food or should we measure the food? And again, this is a tip that I usually give for people trying to put their dog on a diet. But again, eyeballing the food, not an exact science. Take a plunge.
Two cups a day. My gosh, that's like Cocker Spaniel, not a medium dog. No wonder that dog's so skinny.
Yeah,
we've got to go to break, Dr. Carol. We'll be back in a few seconds. We've got to go to break. And we're going to talk more because we did get an email from someone who rescued a cat. And the cat was really skinny when they got her. And they're free feeding her with a whole bunch of other cats. And they looked at her the other day and thought, oh, gosh, that is one fat cat. So they want to know, you know, when you have multiple cats and you're free feeding, how can you get a cat thinner? But also, is this just because she was without, you know, homeless, and now she's got food and she's just, is this a phase? Will she realize? Okay, we'll be back on Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk.
And anytime you're near, I love
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsandsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when cold, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Radio with Deb Wolf and with Dr. Carol, and we're going to talk about that fat cat. But Dr. Carol just threw out a weird stat. 18% of rabbits don't get enough exercise. Well, how many humans don't get enough exercise, Dr. Carol? Maybe we should go jogging with rabbits. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, we might have to go hopping. You'd also be interested to know that 65% of rabbits don't have a companion, despite being a highly sociable species.
Yeah, well, that's because they breed like rabbits. But you can't get them spayed, right? Okay, so what are we going to do? Is this lady's cat going to get used to the fact that food isn't scarce and stop eating? And if not, Well, she doesn't want to stop her free feeding cat. You know, she's got a few cats. They all get along great. Well, how does she keep this newcomer from going from skinny to obese?
Well, first of all, she needs to feed specific meals of the day and stop free feeding. Free feeding is probably one of the single biggest mistakes that many pet owners make for dogs and cats alike, is they just leave that bowl full. So with this kitty, who went from being too thin to too chubby, you need to limit the meals starting now, because remember, what's going to happen to that fat cat? Well, all kinds of things. Diabetes is the first thing on my list. And with cats, many of these fat cats become diabetics simply because of the weight situation. And in those cats, if we can lose the body weight, then the need for insulin injection stops.
Yeah, and most of us are not going to be willing to give our cat an injection every day. So,
well,
it's easier to get them slim, isn't it?
It's easier to get them slim. You know, in addition to which, the next thing that happens is arthritis. Then our joints are achy. And then what does the little kitty do? Well, the joints hurt, so I don't really want to crawl up into that litter box. I think I'll just go next to the litter box. So right. Then we start having accidents in the home. We start urinating and defecating on the carpet. And then all the other felines in that home generally will...
Oh, yeah. Join the party. This is the new bathroom, everybody.
Exactly. We'll join the party.
The latrine has moved locations.
The latrine has moved.
Everybody here. Yeah. It's terrible. One accident and you've got a problem.
Exactly.
So, okay, if you're listening to this and you wish you could ask Dr. Carol something, or you want to ask me something about your bad dog or bad cat, or misbehaving bad dog or bad cat that's really a good dog or a good cat, or maybe you've got a sick dog or cat or a diet question, call us 1-888-627-6008 right now. 1-888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you.
You know, Deb, going back to this fat kitty, other tips for people in addition to this client with chubby cats, how do you exercise a cat? Well, you engage them with a feather, a string, a laser pointer, for example. Try to get them running after a toy as they swat at it. There's a lot of ways you can exercise a cat. You can take a fishing line and hang a little feather or something exciting on it, hang it over your sofa or a chair, and the cat will run and kind of pounce on that thing. Cats love to chase laser toys.
The thing about all of these things you're describing, and this is what I kind of want to stress when people are listening to you, all of these things the human is playing too. You don't just toss the toy into the room and walk away.
Right.
Cats don't work like that. Neither do grown dogs. They need you to play back. So
that
you got to interact. If you don't feel like spending the time, don't buy the toy. There's no point. They need you to play with them.
That's exactly right. And you've got to incorporate more playtime into your routine, be it a dog or a cat. Going back to cats, toys that trigger a cat's natural predatory instinct are a great way to get them off the couch and engaged in a little aerobic activity. You can experiment to see what really gets your cat going. Lasers, a little catnip. You can buy catnip toys. You can also buy fresh catnip. You can sprinkle it on a couple toys. You can even spread it out on the stairs if you have one of those climbable cat trees. Two or three times a week.
99 cents, you can get a packet of it and plant it in your windowsill. Like, it's really cheap.
It's really cheap and really
pretty.
Easy.
It's little purpley, lilac-y white flowers. It's very pretty. It smells like mint. It's not a drug to people, so don't worry about that. It's only going to get your cat going, not you.
Exactly. It's very safe. Given to kitties 2 or 3 times a week, perfect. Crinkly balls made of aluminum foil. Cats love stuff like that. And remember, cats love to hide. You can make an obstacle course in your home by cutting up some cardboard bags and boxes and just putting them around the house, again, as a little obstacle course. So there's all kinds of things that we can do, be it a cat or a dog, to engage these particular animals.
We got an email telling me I need to watch TV. I need to watch Duck Dynasty. And they're telling me that they've been hearing about me talk about poodles completing the Iditarod and standard poodles diving and getting ducks and all this. And they were skeptical. They always thought it was just, you know, yeah, she's a breeder. She loves the breed. Poodles don't work. But apparently on this Duck Dynasty show, they have a whole bunch of, you know, the usual kind of hunting dogs. And this man on the show kept trying different hunting dogs. And, you know, that old saying, that dog won't hunt. So he couldn't find one to hunt until he went with a standard poodle. And he has a big chocolate standard poodle. Aww. Apparently with, you know, not having received any kind of neutering because they keep commenting on the size of his equipment. But, but I can't wait to see this show. Apparently he's cold water diving and he's coming up with the duck ahead of all these other hunting dogs. And all the people on the show are a little bit dumbfounded that this poodle can really hunt. So I can't wait to see it now.
Well, I think that's exciting. And you know, that brings up a point. You know, remember, it's never too late to teach an old dog a new trick. Poodles can dive and work on Duck Dynasty. And remember that Alzheimer's disease, dementia, and senility don't just affect people. It affects pets. If you've got an old dog, remember, mental stimulation helps to reduce cognitive deterioration in aging animals. What that means is if we can keep your pet's brain active, you can actually make it healthier. So trying to teach your pet new tricks and practicing those that they already know is just a great way to keep those neurons firing and keep the brain active. And, you know, they've got some new puzzle feeders, which I've just become acquainted with, and they're very neat. They force
Okay, everybody, we're going to ask Dr. Carol to hold that thought and tell us all about them after the break, because we only have a minute left. Do you think you can tell them how they can reach you after the show if they want to ask you something in a minute?
I would love to.
A quick minute. Yeah.
You can reach me online at carolonpets.com or www.drcarol.com. Give us a call toll free at 866-372-2765. We offer pet health consultations for dogs and cats. We answer questions, and we've just opened up a beautiful new veterinary center right here in Chagrin Falls.
We'll be back right after the break with more Dr. Carol, and we'll find out about how you can challenge your old dog's brain with some new stuff. All right, stay tuned on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net, where dog whisperers are trained.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And it's Deb Wolf, and we're talking with Dr. Carol. She's going to tell us how you can challenge your old pets. Dr. Carol, I heard this funny joke. I heard a comedian tell this joke.
Okay.
He said, my wife went out to the reservoir way behind the city where nothing can survive, and she comes back with this rescue dog. And she says, look, honey, I rescued a pit bull cross. And I took one look at that dog and I said, well, what's it cross with? Pit bull? And they showed me a picture of the pit bull because it was on the comedian thing, and I emailed him and we were talking a little bit about it, and he told me it's 100% pit bull, and gosh, is it ever cute. But wow, be careful what you rescue. You really got to know what you're doing, and I'm not talking about breeds. A dog that could survive out there, they've been in contact with me quite a bit since I first saw him on TV and emailed him, and honestly, they are having some major problems because that dog lived on its own for weeks or months. It's leaving their fencing and doing whatever it wants, no matter how hard they try to secure it. So they got some issues ahead of it. But I do commend all the people who are adopting, the people who adopted that rescue cat that was too skinny, and the people saving this pit bull from the reservoir. Really, really, my hat goes off to all the rescuers. So what can we do about those dogs and cats that are getting a little bored or a little chunky or a little lazy? And they need some tricks, Dr. Carroll.
They need some tricks, and they need some interaction with their human counterparts to keep them healthy, to keep them mentally stimulated. And again, just doing simple things, even if it's getting one of these new little puzzle feeders. I think they're kind of neat. They force your pet to think through a particular task in order to be rewarded, in this case, with a treat. But there's all kinds of things you can do, even if it's just going out for that daily walk and having your pet sit and stay, hiding a couple treats, making an obstacle course, just all kinds of little things like that. Health for the body and health for the brain. Remember a couple of simple things. Melatonin, very simple over-the-counter nutrient, just an amino acid, 1 to 3 milligrams a day would be in the evening, is the amino acid, the chief amino acid necessary for the health and maintenance of our brain and mental function. So that's just something to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. You know, I told you over Christmas, I don't really decorate my house for Christmas, but there's one thing I do. I do put up mistletoe. And I told you this year I put it up in a new area where I hadn't put it up before. And, you know, it was surprising my kids with kisses and stuff like that. Well, guess who found the mistletoe? Parked himself right under the mistletoe.
I would say your poodle.
Yeah, my stud poodle, my oldest male poodle. He sussed that out. It didn't even take him a half a day to figure out that, okay, I will lie under the mistletoe. And he basically parked himself for the whole Christmas, just waiting for someone to come along and kiss him. You know, very, very sweet, really.
Well, that's really good. You know what's interesting, Deb, is those mistletoe, the little berries, those are one of the big toxins, you need to be aware of on a pet. But something I didn't know as a veterinarian is that mistletoe, the extract apparently, is used in cancer therapy treatments. I thought that was very interesting. The most toxic substance, but also something we use to treat cancer.
Stinging nettle is used in a lot of remedies for MS and Parkinson's, and I find that very puzzling because, when you brush against it, it stings you. It's like poison oak. It's terrible. And yet, for some people, it's healing, not terrible. It's like the earth has everything we need. We just have to figure out where it is and what to use it for, which isn't so easy.
Exactly, and that's what some people like myself, we try a little bit and we learn, which natural nutrients do this and which do that, and then which are just a bunch of sales hype and don't really do a darn thing at all.
I got a question for you from a listener, and I almost didn't want to give it to you because I guess I'm a little bit biased against private pet owners owning certain kind of exotics. And I always feel like it's not so great for the exotic. But there's someone calling in about their monkey. And they've had this monkey since it was an infant. It's now about 8. I'm guessing sexual maturity has something to do with what's going on with their monkey. But I don't know monkeys like you know monkeys, I'm assuming. So all of a sudden, it's not the same. It doesn't like to be held. It doesn't like to be carried. It doesn't like affection the same way. It hasn't bitten anybody yet, but it's bared its teeth. It's growled. If this was a dog, I'd say, come sit, stay, heel all the way and discipline it when it does act badly, it needs a timeout, and then it comes out of timeout to show how sweet it's going to be, and I'd say muzzle it and touch it all over. I don't know. With a monkey that's turning 8, I think, you shouldn't have got it in the first place. Maybe you got to look into a sanctuary. that can do right by it and give it a, you know, a monkey wife. But maybe I'm wrong on that. What do you think, Dr. Carol? What should we tell these monkey people?
Well, Deb, I think you hit the nail on the head. A monkey is a wild animal. In fact, as of January 2014, many states, including Ohio, the state that I live in, have passed formal laws with respect to individuals housing exotic animals. Certainly, in my opinion, it's a mistake. According to the latest legislation that I've reviewed, what is being disputed at this point is the use and safety of the little capuchin monkeys for people with a variety of disabilities. And I have personally worked with these little monkeys multiple times, taken them on television, et cetera, and they help people feed themselves, get their car keys, all kinds of great things they do. I mean, they're just amazing.
Yeah, but a monkey like that you would think wouldn't be chronically bored and looking for, you know, the way a pet monkey would be. But on the other hand, maybe they're spayed or neutered to change how they behave. I don't really know how their sexuality comes into play with this.
Yeah, and you know, that's a good question, because I can honestly say that that's not something that I've addressed in the capuchin. But as far as a regular monkey, chimp, etc., these are wild animals, folks. Look in the news. They're on the news all the time. They grow up, they hit maturity, and their natural instincts take charge. And these animals, honestly, they're not suited to live in a home. It's not fair to them. And the owners, in many cases, find themselves at great risk, such as the woman whose face was literally torn
off. Oh, that was terrible. And this lady talking to us today has sent me a picture of a child with this monkey. And that's why I was just like, oh, I don't know if I want to encourage this. And I know people are out there. We have one more segment, Dr. Carol. We're coming to the end. I know people out there are listening saying, but my monkey's so sweet.
Right.
Listen, when they're 1, 2, 3, 4 years old, they're just babies. You don't know if it's going to be sweet. And chances are it won't be at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, because that's when it's growing up and it's figured out that it shouldn't be with you in your house in a crib wearing a hat. Okay, so...
And that, you know, that's the truth. For example, right now in Florida, starting in Miami, a lot of these people get little snakes because they're fun pets. But then all of a sudden what happens? The snakes become big snakes. Okay. The owners don't know what to do. They let them go. These snakes from Miami have migrated all the way up to Jacksonville.
Okay, everybody, stay tuned. We're going to hear more about the peril of the snakes.
The peril of the snakes.
Carol, look, up on Pet Dog Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love
food. Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate.
I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait, I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food.
Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I want to talk about bears and I want to talk about mastiffs. But first, Dr. Carol wants to talk about snakes.
Well, my point is just as a monkey is truly not a good pet for an individual, I was simply relating a similar situation with snakes that started out as pets in Miami as little. They got big, people released them, and now they've got a true problem all the way up in Jacksonville. Individual homeowners are walking outside and encountering these monstrously large snakes. And that's an issue. So really, you know, think twice before you go out and buy an exotic animal that really is best suited to be in their natural environment. And you can go to a sanctuary or a zoo or wherever it might be and enjoy these animals. But, you know, think twice before you do something like that because it's silly. And in the vast majority of cases, it doesn't work out in your favor or in the pet's favor.
People get lied to. They get told, oh, no, it will stay small.
Yes.
It will
yes.
only grow as big as the cage you give it. It'll only grow as big as the tank you give it. Well, that's just cruelty. It'll still grow, but it's going to be miserable. You don't get something if you want it to stay tiny that, you know, the person selling it to you will lie. And then if you do end up in this situation, please don't release it. Because if it's not native, it can destroy so much. It's just so dangerous. So dangerous. Okay, so that was snakes. It's happened with frogs and fish and all kinds of things people have released mistakenly that really weren't supposed to be in their part of the world. Cats in Australia, all kinds of foreigners that shouldn't be there just have too much of an advantage.
The same thing happened with the pot-bellied pigs. You know, people thought they were going to be little 10-pound pigs, and the breeder says, oh, they're going to stay nice and small. And those little 10-pound pigs turned into 100-plus-pound pigs that suddenly – it wasn't so good to have them in your bedroom or your living room. So
you know what else? Our producer
do your homework and don't
something.
Be fooled.
Our producer brings up something. He said when he was a young man, he wanted to have a monkey until he found out that they're known to throw their own feces on the walls. And actually, that's not a joke. That is just like dogs are known to pull on leash or sometimes jump up. Yes, that is how monkeys express their upset with you. They throw their poop. That's really what they do.
Yes.
So you want that? I don't want that. Okay, just getting down to the nitty gritty of it. All right. So I went to a dog training lesson. I get to the place and the kids all come to the door and they say, my mom wants you to just meet the dog. She wants you to just see what they're like when they come to the door. And I'm thinking, okay. So they go, which one do you want first? Okay, these are my choices. Door number one and door number two. I can pick the 4-year-old Mastiff who's nervous, fear aggressive, and on Prozac, or I can pick the larger still Mastiff, 2 years old, not aggressive with people, but sometimes aggressive with other dogs to the point where she puts them in the hospital, and not on Prozac. So what do I pick, door number one or door number two? Which would you pick?
Golly, we've got a dog on Prozac, and what's on the other door?
A dog not on Prozac, but you see, both dogs have had serious fights and attacked each other, and that's why I'm being called to the house. Neither has ever attacked a child or a person, but they both attacked dogs before. One's really nervous and fearful and just started on the Prozac. Not on it long enough for it to really kick in, but it's fearful and nervous. The other one, it's not afraid of anything. It's armed for bear, and it's coming to the door not on Prozac. So which would you pick?
Boy, I don't know. I'm not an advocate of Prozac, but I think that both dogs need to have a lot of time spent with them to resolve these problems with aggression, etc. Which dog would you pick?
I picked the confident one because I figured, you know, the fearful one is a little bit unpredictable. And if it's being medicated and I'm not sure to what degree the medication's affecting it, then I'm going to be less able to read its body language, especially dog I don't know. Whereas the other one, it's going to read like a confident, you know, diva dog throwing its weight around. Easy, easy, easy. And actually, it was so delightful. These big, jowly, spitty mastiffs, they were just so wonderful. But, okay, so I said I'd talk about bears. And we got a press release this morning that I wanted to share with you. They just want to make animal lovers aware that, you know, we live, where I live, it's very near the bear rainforest, the Great Bear Rainforest. And tourists pay a lot of money to come here and shoot bears. And there are a lot of people here that don't want that to happen. And so I got a press release today just saying, remember, for every bear shot, that's 12 jobs in the hunting industry. For every bear that isn't shot, that's 500 jobs in the tourist eco taking pictures of bears industry. And you can go on some amazing kayak and canoe trips and things like that where you get right there. You can see all these bears on the shore. Fantastic stuff. So I'm really glad they're bringing that to people's attention, and hopefully they can stop the bear call and the bear hunt, and grizzly bears will get left alone despite the fact that people think they look good on walls. What do you think, Dr. Carol? Are you going to come up and kill our Canadian bears? I hope you won't.
No, I'm not a bear killer.
Didn't think so.
Nah. Not a bear killer by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay, so... talking about monkeys, a while back on that very popular show, The Big Bang Theory, one of the characters, Amy, who's a lab, you know, kind of a science geek, works in a lab, and she was plotting revenge on a different character, and she said, I know what we can do. I got a lab full of coke-addicted monkeys with zero to lose, and we can let them go in his car or in her shower. And that's what I think of when I think of those monkeys. Really not the best pet.
No, definitely not the best pet. And there's so many pets out there looking for a good home. You know, and for people that don't know if, you know, what pet might be the very best pet for them, you know, remember, there's all kinds of shelters and kennels, et cetera, that you can volunteer your time and your services at. You can get to know the different breeds, the different species, etc. And then if and when the time is right for you, you can make the decision, you know, to become a pet owner, but in the right way, making an educated, informed decision, not just a spur of the moment. Hey, look at that fuzzy face, you know, and whether it's a monkey, a bear, a snake, or a dog, either way, you've got to do your homework and be prepared to be a good parent to that animal. And as far as exotics go, be smart. Exotic animals really do not make appropriate house pets. It's against the law in many states.
That's the other thing. Some of these parrots and monkeys, they outlive the humans who buy them. And I don't think people realize, you know, you got to plan for them in your will and maybe even someone else's will. This thing might live till 80. Okay, so WPetTalkRadio.com is where you can find us. Or go to your smartphone, download the TuneIn app, and then search W Pet Talk Radio to listen to us anytime, Dr. Carol. That's how easy it is. It's Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
That's it, folks.
All right, so we'll be back next week. Please call us next week when we're on the air. We'd love to get your calls. Send us your emails. Anything to do with your animal's health or behavior, we're happy to talk about it. So thanks again, Dr. Carol.
Well, thank you for having me. It was my pleasure, and I'll look forward to joining you next week.
There we go. All right, everybody. Until next week, be good to your animals.
And anytime you're near.